we behold your majesty. The three persons of the Godhead. Adonai, Lord Jesus. Elohim, Lord God, Heavenly Father. Zahavul, Holy Spirit, the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven. We worship you. We enter your word now with the reverence that it eminently deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into these written word in human language. Father, we pray. We need your help. So we pray for fresh anointing and unction from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that this word, Father, will flow freely, without hindrance, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you will release power of the Holy Spirit in sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the word and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it, my Father, with precision, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And all is in agreement with that prayer, receiving each and every blessing in their individual life, agreed with me and said,
Amen.
Today I have a very important message, and I've entitled it God's Goodness and Your Repentance. We are living in perilous times. You don't have to be a prophet to know that. Just put on the television, and all around us, we see what the Bible said. Pastor Boyega ministered to us about the anchor of our soul a few Wednesdays ago, and he quoted the same scripture. Men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. Every day you hear something new that says, ha! What is going to happen next? Whether you're in an aeroplane, or whether you're in a restaurant eating, whether you're going to watch football, whether just walking on the road innocently, there is danger lurking at every corner. But the Bible tells us that we who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And only with our eyes, because we're here with them, shall we see the reward of the wicked. Wicked there means those who discard the instruction of God. It's not just unbelievers. It says 1,000 will fall at our right hand, or may fall at our right hand, showing you the high casualty rate. And 10,000 at our left. But the scripture promises us that it will not come nigh us. That's why I've come to minister on this, on the goodness of God and your repentance. You see, many of us, Christian and non-Christian, are enjoying the goodness of God's mercies. And that is why some of the things that are happening on the earth haven't touched us. In quite a number of cases, not all the cases, but in a significant number of cases, it is not because we are better than the people that is touching. It is simply because God is merciful. And you're probably connected either directly or indirectly to somebody who is doing the right thing. Who's under whose sphere of influence you have come. And you are now enjoying that goodness. But I come as a prophet of God to warn you. Hence this message. And thinkest thou this? Romans chapter 2 verse 3. I speak by the Holy Ghost. And think, he's talking to you. Oh man, that judges those that do such things, and doest the same, shalt thou escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou, and there are so many of us like that, the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering? Hence this message. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But, and may this but not be your case, but it's a warning. After thy hardness just means stubbornness. I will do my own thing. You tell something, they will do what you say. No obey instruction. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who shall render to every man according to his deeds. God's goodness and your repentance. I bring you a cutting edge present truth word from the throne of God. By the mercy and the grace of God. Many of us are spiritually dense, unaware of the great spiritual battle that is going on around us. We take so many things for granted. We won't pray, we will not. Oh, we pray and pray the way we like. Pray how we like, when we like. The scripture says effectual fervent prayer. We won't pray effectually, we won't pray fervently. Pastor Lubi is there, give me covering. Oh yeah. I bring a cutting edge word from the throne. My mommy is there, my daddy is there, they will pray for me. Wake up! God is talking. Knowing not that the goodness of God, his patience and forbearing, you are enjoying God's goodness upon other people. But it will not last forever. And I bring two examples from the scriptures. One is both of them are good or bad examples, depending on how you want to look at it. Both of them actually went to heaven. One of them suffered more than the other because of this thing. I actually mentioned in one of my teachings recently, and it's from there God sparked this message off to me. And just yesterday or day before, I wrote it down. He said, come and tell your people. And this is not only for scripture passage people, it's true for so many people, both sinner and saint. So many of us think that we're like those people in the time of Christ. When Pilate took some Galileans, some people from Galilee, these are the people of God. These are covenant people. These are guys who go to the synagogue every Saturday, they pay their tithes. These are good people. So people were scandalized and angry that an unbeliever, the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, took some people. So how wicked those Roman kings were. These are our boys today. They're just a bunch of toys. That's why they're meat for us. These are our politicians. They're not a problem. Trust me. If we can handle the Roman Empire, we can handle these boys. Are you listening to me? If we can handle Nebuchadnezzar, and we can handle Belteshazzar, and we can handle Ahasuerus, these boys are no problem. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's in control of Nigeria. Chill. Tell them, chill. Praise the Lord. That's just by the way. Are you listening to me? The goodness of God is to lead us to repentance. So Pontius Pilate, a Roman idol worshipper at that time, church history tells us that he repents later on. His wife got to know Jesus. You know, it was his wife who sent him a message. Said, don't do anything to that man. History tells us, church history, if you read Josephus, you know, some of the, you know, writings of the Jews at that time, that he became a Christian later because Jesus, you know, Jesus is so nice. You know, Jesus appeared to Pontius Pilate. According to church history, it's not in the Bible. After his resurrection, and he said, I know you didn't want to crucify me. But you did because you're under pressure. And Pilate accepted Christ. By the way, that's the goodness of God in operation. So they arrest, they get these guys, they carry them. Can you imagine? Human sacrifice. They killed this same Pilate, killed those people, and mixed their blood with the sacrifices for their Roman gods. So the brethren, and you know how we are, the brethren, came to meet Jesus with great indignation and said, Lord! Because they had seen water turn to wine. They had seen the man walk on water. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him do great and mighty things. And he was called the Son of David. So they were expecting a military deliverer. And that this was the great opportunity for him to deal a serious blow to Pilate and the Roman Empire. They were expecting that kind of reaction, that he was going to use his spiritual power and come and call fire from heaven and deal with Pilate. That's what they were expecting. They said, Lord! So Jesus said, do you think that these people who died like that, who were sacrificed with this sacrifice, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other guys in Jerusalem? I got a text. Jerusalem, today now, Jerusalem is a place of revelation. So these people were people of revelation. I'm using present truth interpretation. Do you think that they were worse sinners than the other people who also in Jerusalem who are coming to the temple and worshipping God? Then he says something terrible. Not terrible, but shocking to you and I. Next verse. I tell you! And that is what Pastor Luby is telling you today by the Spirit. I tell you! Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Nobody said amen. Amen. You will not perish in Jesus' name. But you will repent in Jesus' name. You better say a big amen to the repent.
Amen.
God's goodness and your repentance. He said, look, these guys who died, many of you are not better than them. And unless you repent and change your ways and stop being hard-hearted and stop casting instruction behind your back. That's God's definition of wickedness according to Psalm 50. He said, well, he was not talking to sinners. He was talking to his people. He said, what do I have that you put my word in your mouth? Always confessing the word of God, but you will disobey instruction. Be saying what the Bible says, you know, but in your heart, the instructions to get that thing done that you have been given by your pastor and your spiritual fathers, you will cast it behind your back. God said, why should you put your word in my word in your mouth? See, you hate instruction and cast. Go to Psalm 50. I think it's around verse 13, 14, 15, somewhere there. Psalm 50. You cast my word behind your back. You better stop that. Stop stubbornness. Stop internal. They will tell you, do it that way. Do it the way. That's how I feel. I don't feel like doing that. Do it my own way. You better stop that. Thank you. But unto the wicked, Eka. God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? These are people who speak in God's word. Are not unbelievers, these are Christians. Next verse. Seeing thou what? Hatest instruction and what? Castest my words behind. You hear it, but Tiwani pastor somewhere. Tiwani, you know, in our language that means that the man mind the man is just saying his own. I know God too, and this is what I'm going to do. Bible calls it the wickedness. I've given this illustration before, but it bears repetition. It's come back to me. A pilot of a plane who is flying a 747 or a 777 that's moving at, usually those planes move at about 600 miles per hour, 700. He's coming into Lagos Airport. He's already got, he's in the Sahara Desert. He's approaching Niger Republic. A signal comes from the watchtower in Lagos over the radar and radio and says, is that British Airways 074? He says, yes, reading. He says, we are having a weather problem and turbulence over Lagos. Move 5 degrees east. He's talking with the co-pilot. And they are joking. That's how Christians are. They're all serious. Don't mind them. All these boys from Lagos, they don't know anything. You know, I've flown that route so many times. We don't need to move 5 degrees east. Keep your course. It's typical. It happens sometimes. God forbid. Yeah, he's probably flown that route 100 times. So he does know what he's talking about. But the guy on the ground in Lagos who has seen a serious thunderstorm and weather condition has advised that we need to move 5 degrees east, and he needed to move it to when he was told.
Amen.
Because he's moving at 600 miles an hour. Every minute he's going closer to that thing. He doesn't change course. He holds that course. And all of a sudden, they're already over Niger Republic because he's moving at 600 miles per hour. 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, he's already near Lagos. And then suddenly he sees this thunderstorm, but it's too late to change. So he says, well, we'll weather it. And the plane begins to go. And maybe lightning or something strikes one engine and one engine goes. It's happened before. Or he loses his tail fin. He can't steer the plane again. So he has to make an emergency landing. Not in Lagos, in the Atlantic Ocean. And probably lands near Cotonou or somewhere to just try and save the day. Maybe a few people will get saved. A few people will die. Maybe lots of people will die. Simply because he did not obey instruction at the time that he was given. So it is in the realm of the spirit. Pray! Once every 6 hours. And at every opportunity. You're moving at 600 miles per hour. And there's a thunderstorm ahead. The Holy Ghost said, pray, 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 pray. I prayed already in the morning. Don't mind them. These people are fanatics. And instead of moving 5 degrees east, you enter your thunderstorm, which could have been avoided had you listened to instruction. I'll give you two examples of two people, young boys at the time when they were young, then they grew up later into men, who did not listen to the instruction of their fathers. The first one is Samson. Samson was born with everything a human being can desire as far as destiny is concerned. He was almost like Jesus. The only difference that his mother was not a virgin. That was the only difference. An angel appeared to his mommy just like Gabriel appeared to Jesus. So you're going to have a son. Don't drink any hot drink and all of that. He says he will be called a Nazarene. He will deliver the people from the Philistines. And Samson was born through the agency, supernatural agency. It was natural birth, but it was through the message of an angel. And he grew. His hair began to grow. And God gave him supernatural strength. Can you imagine one person killing 1,000 men? With the jawbone of an ass. You got to think about it too. You know, when you read this thing in the Bible, don't just read it. Stop and think and meditate. Do you understand? Imagine he has a jawbone of an ass. You have 1,000 men. Okay? Let's even assume he kills the first 5 here and he kills the first 5. What are the other ones over there? What are the ones with the javelin, the one with the spear, the one with the bow and arrow? 1,000! Somebody would have picked him down. Are you listening? Maybe he'll kill 10. Maybe he'll kill 20. But by the time he does that, the others will rush him and they'll get him. But that didn't happen because God, a supernatural, is not possible in the natural. God has to give you supernatural strength and covering. And that's what happened. So he got to know God and he was confident, but he won't listen to his parents. We don't want you, right from when he was young. Don't go with the daughter of the Philistines. In our language, that means they said you shouldn't go to the Philistines. That's the very place. Not once, not twice, not 3 times. Constantly, his parents actually asked him, are there not fine girls in Israel that you can choose from? He said, get down to me to wife, for she pleased me well. He only thought about what pleased him. He didn't think about what pleased God and what honored his parents. He dishonored his parents. He married her. No problem. The interesting is that the anointing stayed on him. The goodness of God. Check that scripture. He said, know not the goodness of God, his forbearing and long suffering. You would have thought, disobedience is a terrible thing. You would have thought that after marrying this Philistine, he would be satisfied. No! He would still go to harlot. This same boy, anointed of God, born in a godly home with godly parents, Go and visit, you know, he was married though. Go to harlot. Then there was one terrible woman, her name was Delilah. You know, whenever I read and I meditate on these stories, it tells me that, you see, this disobedience thing is a spiritual. When I'm not talking about the demon that possesses you. I'm talking about a spiritual force that hardens your heart. Can you imagine a whole Samson, anointed of God? He knew God. He was a Nazarene like Jesus. He knew God. He had the anointing of God upon him. But he kept on in sin. He kept doing it over and over every time, you know. And when the Philistines come on him, the anointing of God, he even went to the house of a harlot. When he finished in the morning, the Philistines came to attack him. He carried the gate of the city. Can you imagine? You know what he told himself? Foolishly. Do you understand? God will always be there. My parents are praying. They are covering me. That's what was covering him. He was enjoying the goodness of God upon his parents and the people around him in his sphere of influence. Finally, and Samson, oh God, Olonija, may God not allow any of us to have that kind of heart. Delilah kept asking him, what's the secret of your power? What's the secret of your power? Even if a wise person will know that this is not the kind of woman I want to stay with. So he told her lies as first. He said, oh, if you tie me with this, they will be in the room together. The Philistines will come. Then he will free himself. And he was like, at least after the first time, he will know that this woman is planning to kill me. You are laughing. How come he couldn't see it? That's what stubbornness does. It blinds you. First time, second time, say with new rope that has not, no man has been tied with. Again, they came. At least I would tell him, this woman is dangerous. In fact, when they came the first time, any wise person will not even go near that woman again. But Ajatobama Sonu. Did I get it? The dog that is going to get lost will not hear the whistle of the hunter. Alone is our debel. May we hear the whistle of the Holy Ghost. Alone is your son. That's why I read that scripture in Romans. The hardness and impenitent heart. That was what Samson had. To the point he couldn't even hear when God was shouting and screaming. This woman tied him with the weeds. He broke it. Tied him with the rope. So he had two chances to get to know. Then one day she talked and talked. The Bible said it was actually witchcraft. She wearied him and wearied. The first thing he said, you know, don't blame the woman, blame Samson. If the Samson did not go to her house, can she weary him? It's like the book of Proverbs when I'm talking about the, you know, the young man void of understanding. We blame the woman with the attire of the harlot who forced him. But it was not the woman's fault. It was the stupid young man who had no wisdom and went the way of her house. If he didn't go the way of her house, could she have caught him with an impudent face? Always blaming other people. Take responsibility for your actions. It was not the woman. It was Samson. If he had never gone to the house of Delilah, could she have wearied him? His spiritual power was getting lower and lower. He didn't know it. She wearied him. Then the Bible says she told her all his heart. She put him on her laps. The Bible says she began to afflict him. It's a spiritual thing. In the Yoruba, they will say, oh, gbagbara lowe. It's witchcraft. His spiritual power ebbed away. And then she shaved the 7 locks. You know, there's too much in the Bible. All this one is prophetic. 7 pillars of wisdom. They will shave it from your head. If you go and start sleeping with Delilah. I know people who've been in this church. They believe everything with her. They go, Delilah, there is a spirit. It's like a spirit of Babylon. Go to the wrong kind of place. They will afflict you and take off your hair. You know what? Because the hair is given to him for a covering. It connects him to his spiritual leadership. Cut it off. Cut the whole thing off. Slept. Samson! The Philistines are upon thee. And he rose as in times past. But wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. They grabbed him. He became just like another man. He had exhausted the goodness of God. That's not totally accurate. But let me paraphrase that. He had taken God for granted. Put his hand in God's eye. And God said, enough. They captured him. They removed his 2 eyes according to the scripture. The heir that will not hear the counsel of his father and his mother. He said, the eagle will pluck the eye out. Samson fulfilled it. But the good news is, God didn't let them kill him. Amen. Deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved, because his parents were praying. Amen. So that's why I said, exhausted the goodness of God is not accurate. He exhausted, he had wasted a lot of it. Because God is so much, God is great. It's these stories that let me know God's character. They captured him, put his eyes out. Then when he was in the house of the Philistines, in the house of their god Dagon, the Bible is very, very, very dramatic. They made him to be grinding. His eyes, he was blind. In his affliction, he now began to do what he should have done before the affliction. Repent. Hence this message. Don't wait for bad things to happen before you get serious with God. It's in that place of affliction. The Bible says his hair began to grow back. He got, obviously, those details are not in the scripture, but you can glean them from the scripture. He got back into relationship with God. Repented of all his wrong things he was doing. And then he prayed. And said, God, answer me this once. Give me my strength back. And I will die. He knew the judgment for his life was death. He couldn't pray above that one. But at least he's going to go to heaven. Give me strength so that I will kill all these Philistines. And avenge myself. And God answered the prayer. Shows that he had actually repented. Or God would not have answered the prayer. And the anointing came on him. And he killed more Philistines in his death than in his lifetime. He went to heaven. But look at what he lost. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Who wants to be like Samson? Oh, fellow Sonny. Shall be, you went to heaven. How many people want, okay, let me rephrase the question. How many people want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. I'm sure all of us want to go to heaven. Now, don't put the hand down. No, don't put the hand down. Oh, I'm going to catch you. Put the hand up. You want to go to heaven? Put the hand up properly. Yes, I can see it. I'm looking for the sinners in our midst who don't want to go to heaven. Now, how many people want to go to heaven like Samson?
Uh-huh.
But that's what will happen to you if you don't repent. Of stubbornness, impenitent heart. Samson was not an unbeliever. He was a Christian in the Old Testament. Look at what happened to him. Hence this message. Second example, this will be better than Samson. I don't even know if I can say that. His name is Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, a good king. But towards the end of his life, Hezekiah's heart had begun to deteriorate and he had become self-centered and selfish. I'm going to add another thing about Hezekiah. It's not obvious, but it's there. And he had also become rebellious, casting instruction behind him. You know why? When he was sick and God healed him, who did God send? Isaiah, the son of Amos. Isaiah was not dead. Isaiah was alive. Let me ask a rhetorical question. If you were Hezekiah and God sent a prophet to you, and through that prophet your sickness was turned around and you got healed, don't you think you would keep a good relationship with that prophet? Don't you think you will consult that prophet? Even if not on every small thing, at least on important things. People came from Babylon. It didn't occur to Hezekiah to seek the word of the Lord from the prophet. His pride, show off. They came from Babylon. They came to greet him because they heard that he had been sick and that God had healed him. May God not let the thing God gave you blind you from the God who gave it to you.
Amen.
I will repeat it.
Amen.
May God not allow the very thing God gave you to blind you from the God who gave it to you.
Amen.
It was God who healed Hezekiah. It was that healing they came to honor, they came to commiserate with him. But it was that same thing that blinded him from not seeing what God wanted him to see according to concerning the Babylonians. Pride, show off. Came from Babylon. The Bible says he showed them everything in his house. Wait, why? Show off. Pride. Show off. There are people like that. Why you won't show everybody? Strangers. Idol worshippers. They came as good neighbors. I would have looked after them well. Yes. You know, be nice to them. But why show them everything? And to make matters worse, he did not even consider it that he should honor Isaiah the prophet. We're having a state banquet too. People have come from Babylon. As my spiritual mentor and father, please come for the dinner. You know, Isaiah would have come. It would have been there. Isaiah would have said, let them eat and go back to Babylon. He did not even consider no honor. He didn't even remember Isaiah. Isaiah should have been the first person he should have consulted. These guys are coming, you know. Come from a strange land, you know. What do you think God is saying here? Cast it behind his back. They came, they saw, and they conquered. Isaiah was not invited, but Isaiah got to know by the Spirit. Sent to Hezekiah, said, "Who are these people?" Said, "Ah, they came from Babylon, blah, 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 blah." Very good. "What did you do?" "I showed them everything. There is nothing in my house and my kingdom I did not show them." I said, In our language, that means, that's very smart. You've done very well. It was sarcastic. He said, "Now hear the word of the Lord." He said, "The day is coming when the people from Babylon will come, and all these things you have shown them, they are going to carry them away, and all your children." I would have thought that when that type of rebuke comes, what a good man will do is get on his knees, fall on his face before God, and begin to beg and pray. After all, he did that before when he was sick. But because it didn't concern him, because it was a futuristic thing, not in his time, his selfishness blinded him. As pride, show off, selfishness, they are all tied with this short rope. He couldn't even, not even a thought of repentance. But, God, I made a mistake. Isaiah, please pray. You know, they could have found that thing. But he didn't care. So long as not in my time. And he kept on living. Reminds me of David. Mommy was teaching about David the other day. You know, man after God's own hand, stayed back at home, killed somebody's husband, you know, and kept us walking as if everything is normal. The heart is terrible, though. That's why you have to keep it with all diligence. So anyway, they came and they carried, they went off, and Hezekiah dies. But in those 15 years where he dies, he has his son. His name is Manasseh. Manasseh is just a kid, only 12 years old, don't know anything. All he knows is what his daddy did, and by that time his daddy's heart has so deteriorated, so you can imagine the kind of spiritual atmosphere that Manasseh grew up under. So immediately his daddy died, and they made him king. Manasseh did that which seemed good unto him. The Bible records the sins of Manasseh. If it was bad, Manasseh did it. He not only brought idols into the very, very, very temple. He worshipped the host of heaven. He worshipped the queen of heaven. He killed his own children. Sacrifice them to Moloch. Pass them to the fire. God was looking.
Amen.
Thank God for God. If I were God, Manasseh only lasts. I'll say that in English. If I were God, I'd have killed Manasseh long ago. But thank God, I'm not God and you are not God. We thank God for that. God just... So you know what God did? The goodness of God, God. David is there. You know they are not dead. They are dead, but they are not dead. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. So they are conscious and alive with God. So David is saying, God, remember, you say you will leave a light for me in Jerusalem. Hezekiah, who had also passed on, probably by that time, of course, he would have seen his stupidity and foolishness, say, God, because of the blessings of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, God's goodness was still on Manasseh. So God didn't allow him to be killed. He allowed them to attack him. They captured him and put him in prison. And gave him the bread of affliction. 2 Chronicles. Am I helping anybody here this afternoon? 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and look at verse 10. And the Lord, I didn't hear you, spake by his servants to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. This is what we're talking about, repentance, stubbornness. Next verse. Wherefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. The word that was given to Hezekiah is coming to pass. Next verse. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and what? Humbled himself a little bit. Before the God of his fathers. I just got another tweet. And the tweet is this. It's a rhetorical question. Why didn't he humble himself earlier? He could have. Do you understand? Why didn't he? There was another king like that whose father was very wicked. When he became king, he said he's not going to do what his father did. And he did the right thing. Why couldn't Manasseh say, what my daddy did was not good. I'm not going to go that way. Brethren, you don't have to wait for terrible affliction before you humble yourself. Humble yourself now. That's the prophetic word I'm bringing. Don't wait until something really terrible happens before you humble yourself. Humble yourself now. Next verse. And he prayed unto him, just like Samson. And he was entreated of him. I didn't hear you. Turn to him and say, God is good. A whole wicked Manasseh. God allowed himself to be entreated of him. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means there's hope for you. I know you can be bad. So I'm not saying you are bad. I know you can be bad, but you are certainly not like Manasseh. So if Manasseh could pray and God could hear, you can pray and God will hear. Give the Lord a clap of praise for yourselves. That's why the Bible says the scriptures give us hope. And he heard his supplication. This I'm about to read is what is called amazing grace. This thing I'm about to read. The first day I read it in my Bible, I couldn't believe it. I believed it, don't misunderstand me. What I mean is, I say, ha, God. No, I was awed by the goodness of God. That's why the Bible is given to us, to reveal to us God's character. And brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Next verse. Now, after this, he built a wall without the city of David. And on the west side, blah, blah, blah. Next verse. You know, because of time. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord God and all the altars. This is Manasseh. This is genuine repentance. Bringing forth fruit worthy of repentance. And all the altars that he had built in the mouth of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. Next verse. And he repaired.
Oh my God.
This same Manasseh, he went back to prayer. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord. Everybody give Manasseh a clap offering. He's in heaven. He can hear you. This story tells me that there is nobody God cannot forgive. And there is no life that cannot be turned around. Hence my message, God's goodness and your repentance. If Manasseh could make it, anybody can make it. I'm going to close. So, in these perilous times, as you are enjoying the covering either of your pastor, or of your father, or of your parent, or of your brother, or your sister, usually somebody, there's one person in one family that is connected to God, who God is using to provide. Don't take that goodness for granted. Nothing bad has happened to you yet. Don't let it happen. Repent now. How do these things work out? Romans 8:26. I'm just going to quote the scriptures and just fly through them, because the scriptures we're all familiar with. The Bible says, you know, I never connected it. I said, God, this is your Bible, eh? It's so full of wisdom. He said, and we know, the New International Version is actually the best one, which is that in all things, God works for the good of them that what? Love him, who are called according to his purpose. The key word I want to look at there is good. Everybody say good. So when somebody else is praying in tongues and groaning and travail, God begins to work for that person's good inside all their circumstances. And some of their circumstances involve the people in their sphere of influence. So the people in the sphere of influence are enjoying that goodness that that guy is generating. So you are enjoying the goodness of God on somebody else. So you go out, something happens, nothing happens to you. You say, ah, I must be the favored of the Lord. It's not you. It's somebody else's goodness if you don't repent. But if any man sees rising, it's just life for them. People are asking life for you, cleaning with the blood for you. You are not changing inside, but life is coming on your behalf, and because of that, you are surviving, you are walking, you are doing all this. It's not because of you. You're enjoying the goodness of God on somebody else. They are praying for you. They are cleansing you. They are giving life to you. When will you cleanse yourself? When will you draw life for yourself? When will you pray with prayer, supplication, and groaning for yourself? That's the repentance God wants you to do this afternoon. Look at Jude 1. That's the only scripture I will show. I'm going to close. Jude 1. Am I talking for anybody here? Jude 1. There's only one Jude anyway. Those of us who know our Bible. If you hear someone say, read the Bible in Jude chapter 3 verse 4. Immediately, praise the Lord. Are you listening? Immediately you will know where it's coming from. That one's a liar. But you yourself don't even know that Jude doesn't have three chapters. So he will deceive you. The devil speaks to you and say, go and check Jude chapter 4 verse 3. Say, hey, let me go and check the corner. You know, just betrayed your own ignorance. That's why you need to know your Bible. There is no Jude 4, there is no Revelation chapter 23. Are you listening to me? All right. Look at verses 20 and 21. I we're probably going to get 22. But you, beloved, I just got another text. How many people are beloved here? Let me see your hand. And you're fair. That's the meaning. Do you know that's what Solomon's name means? And the greater than Solomon is here. So you are beloved. Give yourself a clap offering. Hallelujah. And you're fair. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. You need to ask yourself a question. Why am I building up myself? Question number one. Question number two. What am I building up myself? The why. And then what is the destination? How high should I build up myself? Two very important questions. We're going to answer them in a minute. Let's keep moving. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's praying in tongues, groaning, travail, blah, blah, blah. Next verse. Keep yourself in the love of God. You now see why you are building up yourself. You are building up yourself because if you don't build up yourself, you will not keep in the love of God. The flesh will take over. Am I talking to anybody here? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is how what Pastor Kule was telling us when we was praying. You know, we have to think, our thoughts direct the power of God. So we're looking for the mercy. You know, I understand I'm praying, I'm doing all that, but I also know that I have to have the mercy of God superimposed. So as I'm praying, in my heart, I'm also asking for mercy. I'm not praying with this arrogance and self-confidence of how much I'm an SPCC, Revelation Knowledge, Zion Christian, and these other guys here don't know anything. Hallelujah. We are the guys controlling the heavenlies. Over Ibadan, over Nigeria, who is like us in all the earth? You know, you can pray with that kind of attitude. For knowledge puffeth up and charity edifies. You can. You can even slip into it. I don't know, you slipped into it. And everything you said is true. It's not a lie. It's just your attitude that is wrong. You can have you can know the truth and still be humble. Yes, we're praying, we're buying devil, we're controlling the heavenlies over Nigeria. Yes, true, but we're doing it all by the mercy of God upon our prayers. So that keeps me humble. It's not of him that runneth, I'm running. It's not of him that willeth, I'm willing. It is of God that shows mercy on my running and my willing that makes it work. So at the end of the day, where then is boasting? It is excluded. Am I talking to anybody here? Now let's read on. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Next verse. And of some, this is where we are going on. Have compassion, making a difference. Next verse. Most people don't read it up to this place. And others do what? Save with fear. Pulling them out. Your prayer is saving people and pulling them from hellfire. The question is now, if there are people who have been pulling you out of fire, when will you start pulling other people out of fire? Am I talking to anybody here? Building up yourself to where? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I've been praying. You have not prayed enough. We are building, but we are building to somewhere. And until we get to that place, we cannot stop building. So I'm going to keep building myself until my building reaches the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Nothing less than that will satisfy me. So I must keep on building. In closing, God is calling us to repentance. Christian and sinner. Let's deal with the Christian first. You and I. I know you've been praying. Pray more. I know you've been washing feet. Wash it more. You've been asking for life. Ask life more. I know you've been praying or building up yourself. Build yourself up more. You know why? We're in perilous times. The prayer of last year may not suffice for the evil of this year. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The evil of January is not the evil of July and August. You need to repent, up your game. So what the way you prayed in January may not be enough for the challenges of July and August. So change, repent. Yes, you're enjoying the goodness of God. You've been covered like Samson. You've been covered like Manasseh. You've been covered, you know, even when you didn't pray, you know, God didn't align any bad thing. Maybe the day you went on the plane, you know, nothing happened. The thing, and it's honestly just something. Somebody else was praying, though. Enjoying the goodness of somebody else. You to start showing goodness to other people. You to start snatching other people out of the fire. For the sinner, if you're not yet born again, you're enjoying blessing, protection, your business is booming, everything is going fine, you are not sick, you're married, you have children, you know, your career is going well, you got promotion, everything is going. So you are wondering, but if I'm not a good person, how can all these things be happening to me? I don't need all this, I'm not a sinner. Sinner has nothing to do with what you do, it's your nature. You're enjoying the goodness. Maybe it's your grandmother. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your cousin. There are some people who are praying. They are praying and they are living for God. And the goodness on their lives is percolating down to you. Don't take it for granted. You repent yourself and get to know God yourself. Because a day may come when that goodness will no longer cover. Like Samuel, Samson, and Manasseh. Make sure you repent. Let us pray. God's goodness and your repentance. God's goodness and your repentance. Iniquity is abounding, left, right, and center. It's all over us. But the good news is that grace did much more abound. But how does grace abound? Through faith, through repentance, through obedience. Not through laziness, not through taking God for granted. Talk to God this afternoon. Ever let it be. That I
will prove you. Ever let it be that I will please you. Ever let it be that I will turn away. Ever let it be.
Never let me go.
Confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In particular, Lord, I repent of sins of stubbornness, of pride, of rebellion, of doing your thing my own way, the way I feel, the way I want, rather than the way you have revealed through the instructions of spiritual fathers. Oh my God, I repent, I repent, I repent. I change my mind, I change my will to do what you have asked me to do, not my own way, but the way you have revealed through the fathers as shown in your word. Lord God, have mercy on me. I recognize the days in which we're living, perilous times, and these are times I need to have you day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, so that only with my eyes will I see the reward of the wicked. 1,000 may fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my left hand, but I will not be afraid, because I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh God, oh God, I repent to a higher level of obedience, a higher level of operation of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So I'll not be living off the goodness of others only, but I will also be generating goodness and being a channel of blessing and of your goodness unto others. In Jesus' name. Nekatolo Mashta. Limprikitofe de Gastofesh. Zefrikitolo Mashala. Ningar Dafredes. Zeleprikitofresh. Zofridingar Dolomashakato. Limprikitofredes. Zofridikitolo Mangaras. Lombrgo Matolomashtolo Matofresh. Tufri do Freshenga. Lombrdo Mashof do Fresla. Lambra. In Jesus' name. Put one hand on your body. Raise your other hand to God. You can put it on your stomach or your chest, wherever. I want to pray for our healing and health. It is the will of God that we live in divine healing and divine health. Divine healing is you sick, God heals you. But that's not God's best. Divine health is where you stay in a place where you're not sick, where you don't get sick. Sickness may attack, but it cannot fasten itself upon your body, and immediately your body can reject it. That's where God is taking us to, and that's what we must learn. There are conditions for healing. Hearkening unto the voice of the Lord thy God to do all his commandments. Well, all is love. All the commandments summarized. So walking love. I heard somebody say this yesterday or something. I can't remember. You know, and they said they discovered in science and medicine that a lot of diseases, maybe 90% or something, is caused by unforgiveness, contention, strife, argument. Scripture. Who is he that will live long and see good days? Let him keep his mouth from guile, and his mouth from speaking bad things. Learn to walk in love. Control your tongue. Control your emotions. Control your temper. Then all these funny things that happen, even if they try and come, you can push them away. It's a scientific study. Unforgiveness, bitterness, contention, strife. They say 90% of many of the diseases are psychosomatic, and then they trigger from there. Then all kinds of funny things that happen inside the body. Who is it that will love life and see good days? Let him keep his tongue from guile, his mouth from speaking evil. Speaking evil, not just curse words and four letter words. Strife, unbelief, fear are evil words. Put that hand on your body. Raise your other hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life now. I say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, I am healed. Sickness and disease do not have a legal right in my body, and I will not permit them to grow in my body. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, setting me legally free from all sickness and disease. I come to enforce now that freedom by the resurrection life and power that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead. And so now I release life, resurrection life and healing power into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, my blood vessels, all my internal organs, into the DNA of every cell of my body, so that it will operate error-free. My immune system will operate error-free in the name of Jesus. And so I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Shakatolo motolo mangardos. 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 Shakatolo